Blog Talk Radio.
I just want to ask a question. who really cares? To save a world in despair. Who really cares?
It followed the water crisis in Flint that began 4 years ago when the city started drawing water from the Flint River, exposing thousands of people to the toxic metal.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
25, it's going to be a black male in a white t-shirt.
There's far too many of you dying.
14 million more
you
Americans
know
would be uninsured
to find
next year. This deadly mass shooting
to bring
in Tampa,
some
Florida
here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate.
Welcome to Dry Bones Connection on Friday night. This is Antoinette. And tonight, well, this is part three of Where Do We Go From Here? And I have it titled, But hopefully y'all know the title. And I have with us Brother Ray. Brother Ray, you with me?
I certainly am.
Yeah, so we had the shootings and everything, and what Marvin Gaye was saying is, you know, what's going on, and we see that it's still everything that he sang about in, what, the 70s is still going on today.
Well, you're absolutely right. Marvin was definitely a prophet and definitely saw the future and sang about it and wrote about it, but that's been going on forever, and the thing is, what are we going to do about it? It's time to stop all of the talk, because I'm hearing a lot of talk, I don't hear any solutions and any action towards solutions. We always react to what somebody has done to us or what's happening to us, but never a way to address our own issues, organize ourselves, and do for ourselves. And I get complaints every day. My phone rings constantly with people with problems, and these are problems that we could solve if we ever decided to come together and turn to each other, work with one another, and build our own nation, our own communities, our own neighborhoods. We could do that, but the division is so great. The enemy has separated us and divided us to the point where we don't want to work together because my idea is better than yours, you know. And if it didn't come up, if I didn't have the idea, then it ain't no good. You understand what I'm saying to you? So, you know, enough is enough. And we founded this organization, African American National United Foundation, back in 1999, in an effort to say enough is enough. It's time for us to come together. And we're still trying to do that because we have not committed ourselves to working together and to putting our ideas together and building what we had to do in our own community. It's a very simple process as far as I'm concerned. When we look at it and what I'm hearing is everybody's responding to what we call white supremacy, which is not an entity at all. They are white, but they're not supreme to anything. And I'm not speaking of white people, but there's no such thing as white supremacy, in my opinion. But I think that if we, those of us who call ourselves melanated people or black people or brown people, ever decide to organize ourselves, spend our money with each other, build our own communities, and turn our dollars back into our communities, these problems will dissipate. Of course, we are organizing at different levels and different ideas, and hopefully at some point we'll bring them all together. You know, we started this drum call. It's been 2 years now. The drum call has gone out, and it is working. People are drumming all over the planet who understand what the drum is. And I'll reiterate how it came about. The drum call is the result of our ancestors using the drum to communicate with one another and using the drum to communicate with the Spirit of God, with God. And they would come in a circle and drum and pray and dance and sing and make their music, and that's how they communicated. So once things got so bad here and all these riots we're having created by the enemy, in my opinion, who wants to create the confusion that he have done among our people so that we don't see what's really going on and who's behind it, who's creating these things. So we kind of talked about it, and hopefully we've done it on your show as well, but we've talked about it with a few people, coming to the conclusion that money is the rule, that the love of money is the issue, and if you follow the money, you're going to find the problem. So we follow the money. We understand the Rockefellers and the all the Rothschilds and all of the money changers of the world. We see where they're the ones who created the confusion on the planet, and they've done it all over the world. It's not just here in America and not just black against white. They have created confusion, white among white, and brown among brown, black among black, you know, red and yellow, they all. And their whole intent was to rule the world and to conquer the world, which they have set out to do, which they're not going to be successful in doing. They have what they call the New World Order, but it's not God's order. They have a master plan, but it's not the master's plan. And we need to understand that we've got to call on the creator of this universe, the giver and sustainer of all life. We've got to call on the creator. We need you now. We need you.
Yeah.
We need you to help. We need your help, Lord. We need you to come. We need you to send your warriors to deal with these people. We can't fight them. They have all kinds of weapons. When they landed on these shores where we were living in peace, growing our own food and living in peace, and they came, saw what we had, and decided that they didn't want to live with us. They wanted to take it for themselves, and they did. They killed everything in sight, men, women, and children. took the land and called it the United States of America. That's what we have. That's where we are. That's what we are living in. So at some point, we've got to understand that and take the spirit and the power of God to deal with it. You know, like I always say, this is a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we can beat these chumps. We can, and we will. But we got to, you know, recognize the fact that we're the ones that has to do this. The world looks to the black man in America and the black woman in America to do something. They know we built this country. They know we, our blood, sweat, and tears are in this soil. They know that we were the first people on this planet and in on this continent and on this soil, and it's ours. But they came and made their own laws, made their own rules, and killed everybody in sight. They came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what they've done, and that's who they are. So when we face that fact, maybe we'll change our attitude toward getting out of this mess. We beg them for reparations. From who? From them? You know, we want to get them out of our land, off of our land. We want them out. We don't want their law. We want God's law. We want to do unto others as we'd have them do unto you. And we can do this if we just come together. And we need to do that and stop, you know, trying to outdo each other, outshine each other. We ain't got time for that no more, y'all. We got to work together. And whatever you're doing, you know, we got to put our shoulder to the wheel. I got to help you. You got to help me, you know. And that's how we're going to get it done. That's how we're going to get your ideas done. That's how we're going to get mine done. All of our ideas, and particularly those ideas that lead to justice and freedom for all. And when I say freedom for all, what I'm saying to you in reality is that what's good for black people is good for everybody. Everybody. And believe it, others are suffering as well as we are suffering. But they don't tell you that on the evening news. They only tell you about the black man. And they set up these killings so that they will take your attention away from what's really going on. Okay? And that's hard to believe that they're this wicked. But they are wicked. They are wicked people. You know, the Bible says to us, when one came to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's not hard to see who they are, who's doing that. So, you know, and I believe it's on us to correct it. And I know that we have the intelligence. I'm praying that we will get the will to do what we have to do and the strength to bring it through. So I just want to thank God. Before we get started, I want to thank God for you, Antoinette, for all of those listeners who understand what you and I and others are talking about and will do something to make a difference. And as I said earlier, the drum call is working 3 o'clock every Sunday. People are drumming. They're just picking up their drums and drum wherever they are. Take charge. Do it. You don't have to ask anybody's opinion. Check in or nothing like that. Just 3 o'clock, pick up your drum. They're doing it. I spoke with the brothers in Cote d'Ivoire today. They called, and changes are coming. She said, they're drumming. She said, they're scared of the drum over there. Yeah, I know. It's a drum. You know, drum, but also be prepared to defend yourself. You know, don't lay your weapon down and act like these people are going to be nice to you. They're not. They came to kill you. Fight back. Take them out. And so that's my attitude. I don't care what anybody else has to say. That's my attitude. Well, that was one of the things I wanted to kind of talk about tonight so that we could get some feedback on those issues. But the other thing is this. I got a letter yesterday from, I live in a condominium here in Miami. I got a letter from them yesterday saying that we need to pay them $1,200 by the 5th of next month, of June. They're actually giving us a week, a little better, to pay them. So I asked the question of who made this law, who made this rule, and what it is, what I'm getting to is that all of these laws are being made that they're trying to force the people to pay are being made by the criminals of the world, those who come here to kill, steal, and destroy. They're in position because we have fallen for the money game. They are the money changers. They control the money, and they're running out because there are 198 countries, I've told you all about this before, that have decided they're not going to use the American dollar. Have decided to not use it because these same white boys in America and in England and in Germany and in other European nations, as Mr. Trump called for. He wanted more blonde-haired, blue-eyed people in America. These people have decided that they're going to rule the world, and they're using money to do so. Countries have done and said, okay, we're going to stop you from using our people in our country, in our land. We're not going to use your American dollar anymore. So you have 198 countries who are not using the American dollar. So what's happening now is that the money changers are going broke because of this. You know, they're playing all kind of games with us with all the killings to take our attention off the fact that we're losing everything. They're taking the attention off the fact that they're bringing in European investors into our communities in this country, buying up the land, buying up the housing, and running our people out of the cities. They're doing that all over the country. So we have not responded. Well, the so-called leaders have not responded. That's the other thing I need to ask your listeners. Who the heck are our leaders? Call some names. We need to know who they are. And we need to know what they're doing. And not only that, we need to have our own plan to do something about what's happening to us. We can no longer depend on the so-called black leadership that has been, in my opinion, bought off for years now and in the pockets of the money changers. So we can no longer accept that. Now, what they did in Washington, I can talk about this. This is my hometown. My home church, the church that I was born and raised in, the church that my brother was a pastor of and my entire family went to in Washington, D.C., New Bethel Baptist Church. The pastor there sold out to the investors and has sold what my brother created, a senior citizen building for the elderly to worry about where they were going to stay when they got old, that they would have a place paid for by the church, by the people of the church who put their money in to build this a building. And that's the idea that I've always had, not only to build a building, but to build a city. We can do this, y'all. We can do this, but we have to put our own money up, stop begging the enemy, anybody, and do our own thing. People will respect us more if we did that. And we can. We have all the ingredients that we need to do anything that we want to do. And I always say, we built America, damn it. We can build Liberty City. We can build our own community is what I'm saying to you. And until we come to that reality and do it, it ain't going to happen. We can talk all the smack we want, how bad we are, what we're going to do, da-da-da-da-da. But if we do nothing, then we're wasting time. It's an insult. So I wanted to point that out and get some discussion on what you think about that. And if it's happening in your city, I know it is. And if you don't know it, you need to look around and see why people are moving out and who's putting the pressure on them to move, who's going up on the rents till they can't pay it and they have to go somewhere, you know. And by the way, the people that I've spoken to in Washington, the elderly people, one lady, she's 97 years old. She's crying. She says, I don't know what to do. I don't have any place to go. I don't have any family. You know, you're 97. Everybody's gone, you know. She says, I just don't know what to do. So, you know, I've intervened. I'm going to help her as much as I can. But here again, these things wouldn't happen if we were organized. We had our own system, take care of our own people. She would never have this problem. So you got all these people there in Washington, the capital of this so-called country, and these people are being put on the street. Her furniture is being set on the street. And the pastor, the new pastor at the church, is responsible, in my opinion. But the people don't seem think that they are responsible and that they can do something to stop this kind of thing. But just from what I understand, and I believe this, these preachers have sold us out to the highest bidder, whoever comes with the money. Now, I've had it to happen to me right here in Miami, Florida, where these preachers sold us out here riding around in Benzes and Bentleys and big cars and taking vacations and airplanes and all of that crap while the people are suffering. And my people, black people in Miami, Florida, are sleeping under the damn bridge. And in Los Angeles, California, and in Oakland, California, and in Detroit, Michigan, and in New York City, okay, all over this country, black people are being displaced. And it's black people who are responsible, in my opinion, to address it. But we're not doing it. you know, I hope that I hope the judge comes on, because we've had this conversation. But we need.
He's not here yet. You know, he said he was going to try, so hopefully he'll be able to come in. But we do have two other people that want to talk with you. So I'm going to take the first one that's been waiting since the beginning of the show, before the beginning. So I'm going to open his mind up.
Hey, how you doing again?
Hey.
How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm alive and well. Thank God for that. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm the same. I can't complain. You pretty much hit on the points I wanted to talk about. Now, I don't know if you knew, you probably knew about this. I don't know about the other listening audience, but now we've had a lot of mass shootings within the past couple of weeks. Buffalo, California. We had one here in Chicago. Milwaukee, one right after downtown, right after the Milwaukee Bucks game. But now what's interesting, and especially the one that just happened in Texas, and going on with a lot of other things that's been happening this week. I think you heard about this, but they were having the World Health Organization was having their annual conference dealing with it was like it's they're dealing with a medical international medical treaty, and right, and that didn't really get talked about in the mainstream media. And so now, as of what happened yesterday, yesterday evening, the World Health Organization actually temporarily they withdrew Biden's public health emergency amendments. And the reason why I'm bringing this up now is because it was something you said earlier about be careful about what we watch in the news, because they can put one thing out and have us focus on one thing. In reality, there's some other stuff that's going on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know about and you should be paying attention to. Because basically,
it's some background noise. It's gone now. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. And so what's interesting, so basically this this forum they were having, Klaus Schwab was involved in it too, actually started last Sunday, and it's supposed to end tomorrow.
Well, listen, Eric, hold up. You're talking about the people we were just talking about, the money changers, who are trying to rule the world, okay? They have got to go, and that's what the drum call is all about. We're asking the creators to remove them from the planet. They have to go. Everywhere they go, they create confusion and destruction. The Bible told us one came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's who they are. That's what they do. So World Conference, the World Health Organization, all of these demons work together. We've got to work together.
But not only on the global level, but like I said, it depends on what state you're in, and also on state level with your mayors, your governors, your county presidents, because a lot of these politicians are on with participating with this whole global takeover.
Absolutely. What city are you in?
I'm in Chicago.
Okay, now, when the brothers and the sisters in Chicago organize themselves, take your attention off of what they are doing, organize yourself, and make sure that those elected officials that represent you will represent you. If they don't, get them out of office. Don't have anybody in office not representing you and your point of view. And they're not doing that. That's why your people are being put to the streets. That's why we're losing our homes, our jobs. You know, and I keep pointing to Miami because our people are losing their jobs first. They don't speak Spanish. Now the Spanish are in control. They're in control because the people in the White House bought them here.
It's the same thing here in Illinois. Right. That's
exactly what I'm saying. So until we get organized, until you organize your block and get your brothers and sisters to organize their blocks and they come together and understand this is a spiritual warfare, and we got to deal with it on a spiritual level. That's the only way to beat these people. They came to kill, steal, and destroy. They got all kind of weapons. They got all. They poison our food. They poison our water. They poison our air. They've done everything they can to kill us, and they can't get rid of us. But we got to take a stand to get them down. Okay, so that's my point. You know, when we start to understand that, that this is an attack on us. You know, it's not normal about what they're doing and all the lies they tell us. We know full well that boy was set up to kill these people. We know that. Every one of them has been brainwashed into doing what they do. Every killing you've had has been done by an 18-year-old or some white boy that's been brainwashed and lied to and misled. Okay? And we've proven that over and over again. We've proven that they just don't know what's going on. They just don't, they don't know the truth. You know,
right,
they've been lied to,
right,
and misled. Just like some of our people.
It,
you know?
Mm-hmm. And it's just, and it's just like, okay, like what's going on? I'm gonna say this, and I know you got another caller. Just like now, that we have, there's a police, black female police officer here. She's getting, they're getting ready to fire her because her and her husband were at Sam's Club. This was like some, late last year, just grocery shopping, and these juveniles, these kids, walked up in the parking lot and took their car. They strong-armed and took their car, and so she had a gun on her, and so she shot at them. Now, she didn't hit any of them, whatever, but what they turned around and did, they were actually arrested her and charged her with a felony, and they're getting ready to fire her. But there's so many stories like that going on here now, so I brought that up to saying, like, right here now, because what, how the gun laws are set up, you can't defend. If you defend yourself, you're going to jail.
Well,
something that's screwed up.
Yeah, that is.
And you got 12, 13, 14-year-olds around here strong-arming people, shooting people and robbing them, and then once they get arrested and go down to the juke, go to court, they're right back out the next day, back on the streets again.
Yeah, I understand.
These are our own children.
We're the only ones who can do something about that. We were allowed to.
I agree with
that.
You.
We didn't say a word when they passed the law that you can't whip your child. Give me a break. We didn't say a word when they didn't allow the black man to work and made him leave his home. I mean, he couldn't be in the house with his wife and get welfare and get help. Okay.
Right.
We didn't say a word. We didn't turn to each other and build our own communities. But that was a lack of leadership. That's why that happened. And I can tell you about a couple of places, but I'm going to talk about the two that I'm very much aware of, or the three.
Mm-hmm.
One, Washington, D.C. Two, Prince George's County, Maryland. And
mm-hmm.
Miami, Florida. Okay? And I'm going to start with Washington. Washington, when I left in 1978, was 80% black folks. Now it's down to 40%. You can't go to Washington, D.C. and not walk the streets and see some white boys and white girls walking with their doggies up and down the street and taking over. You can't see the black businesses are disappearing. Okay, the black people are disappearing. Okay, you can't go you can forget going into Miami because now it's all Spanish. It's down to about 12%. It was 80% when I got here in 78. Okay, so it's on us to do something to preserve ourselves. I'm not saying we got to fight anybody, but we got to preserve ourselves. We have to organize. These children won't have a thing to look forward to. I was on a show the other day, and the guy was saying, well, the young people don't want to hear anything the old people got to say. I said, I don't blame them because we ain't done nothing.
Mm.
Oh. There's no future for them because we haven't done anything. So those of us who tried to do something were ostracized, criticized, and run out. That includes the SCLC, the NAACP, which is a black office, is a white organization, put together by Jews, white Jews, okay? And at least the end of the SCLC was put together by black ministers. And after they killed Dr. King, the rest of them sold him out, sold us out. So we don't have any black organizations that stand for us. We keep running to the NAACP and to all these new organizations that are popping up and everybody's getting money from the enemy. Come on. You know, when are we going to wake up?
Yeah, especially all these non-for-profits. There's so many non-for-profits that are popping up over the place here in Chicago. It's crazy.
That's right. and they're getting money from the enemy, and not doing anything. So, brother, it is on us. I ain't pointing the finger at nobody now. I did all of that.
Right.
I've been through all of them wars. But it's really
right.
on us. I said Martin Luther King Jr. one time when we went down to Georgia, I believe it was, to a voter registration rally, a big meeting. And back in those days, people showed up. They had to wear no suits and shirts and ties and all that. They came in to whatever they had on. And that was the first time I'd seen that because I was in the country. So I said to them, I said, wow, Doc, this is the first time I've been in a church where people came, you know, with coveralls and, you know, right out the field. He said, yeah. He said, you where real people are. He said, these are the real people. And they're still there, unfortunately. We've allowed the enemy, the system, to take us over and control us. So we're still locked out and left out. We still got real slavery going on in America right now. And I can take you to places in Georgia, in Mississippi, right now, in Virginia, where that's going on. But you'll never hear about it unless we do it and unless we talk about it. All of this
mm-hmm.
wolfing and big tickets that we're hearing, the stuff we're talking about, we're not doing anything. We got to organize. We have to organize, brother. And it's on you
mm-hmm.
and me to do that.
All right. All right, y'all. Okay, brother, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to go ahead and mute my line. You can go ahead and take the next caller. Nice talking to you. Nice hearing from you.
I appreciate you, young man.
All right.
Kingston, Virginia. Area code 706. Area code 706. If you have yourself on mute, please take yourself off.
Okay, I'm off mute. Good evening, Sister Jeanette, and good evening, Brother Ray.
Good evening.
Good evening, Derek. How you doing up there in Chi-Town? Anyway.
What's going on?
You, man. I'll be up there next week. But what I'm looking at is you know, Brother Ray, you hitting the nail on the head, but, you know, that 2x4 that you're trying to nail it into, I think it's got a crack in it, or you're hitting one of them knots in there, and it ain't going through the wood, because we've got a challenge right now, and like you said, when that slap was on the Oscars, when they did that in March, when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock, they slapped us with what's called. The House bill is called the COVID-19 History Act Law. That means is that they have now put into law saying that there has to be a record of you dealing with the COVID-19, either inoculation and not inoculated. And then when they came up with what Brother Derek was just dropping about in Geneva, Switzerland, having the World Health Organization having their conference and doing the world law saying that there has to be, everybody has to be able to be identified by this, was all because of what they did with Bank of America and the Medical World Association, which had their conference May 2nd through May 6th, I think. But they just had their main conference, and what they're doing is the big pharma, the banking, and the corporations are funding these pharmaceutical companies to create and to look at these new genes that they've discovered that we have, the double helix, and now they're going after this, being able to modify whatever way they can by if you can alter and put in a different particle in a human's DNA, then it's no longer natural. You can get a patent on it. If you alter the human DNA from its natural, regular DNA pattern with the RNA, which they've done by putting in the mRNA, which is not a natural, they've modified it. So that
That's right.
means that the people that are now getting vaccinated they are now able to say, we have Pharma has this one, Johnson has this one, that company has that one. We have our modification in the humans, and now we own their genes and DNA and organs. Because when you look at what we're seeing in the killing with our children, because in 2019, statistically showed, in 2019, there were over 72,000 just black youth killed in America. 2019, it's in the government report. And if anybody wants, I can pull it up and send it to you, because I sent it to a partner of mine today. And what they're showing is that 72,000 black youth that has been killed, number one, they're not going to be replaced. Number two, they are going to be supplemented by 100,000 or more Ukrainians coming into this country, refugees, women, and children. So that means that all of those 72,000 black that are no longer here are being replaced by Europeans coming into this country with the benefit where those 72,000 that were killed, those youth, most of them may have been incarcerated or been into some trouble, but you have Hampton University, which is a HBCU, a predominantly black college, started for blacks. Hampton University is offering Ukrainians free tuition to come to their university and get educated. How come they couldn't have done that with our children?
Well, they did it because we are not organized to address them, to deal with it. And we've allowed our so-called leaders to sell us out. They know what's going on, and they're getting paid to do it. So, you know, you're absolutely right.
Right, but what we're looking at is, okay, we're looking at we have all of these leaders, and just like we've seen this shooting that just went on with the children. Now, we've got all of these leaders that's sitting there that's been voted in. The people that voted them in, and these people have been there, Biden has been there for since that's the only job he ever known is being in the Senate. So in this case of these 40, 30, 40, 50-year people sitting in office, and then they're putting in a new generation of the family line coming into these offices, when do we start looking at how do we begin to groom and educate the people that look like us or the people that will work with us to be able to put them in position? Okay, Stacy down here in Georgia. I mean, Warnock, we got in. We got those two in. But now they're selling out. The corporations is buying them because this is the money offers that they get. So what we're looking at is this is going to have to be a massive wipeout of all what is right now, what sits in government now. It's going to take a generation. And we have to begin with the children, and that's why they're looking at the elderly, like you, Brother Ray, myself, Sister Antoinette. We're elders. We know, just like I sent this thing out when we used to watch TV, we had three programs that kind of told them what they were getting ready to do. The Outer Limits, all right, One Step Beyond, And what was the other one? Outer Limits, One Step Beyond, and Twilight Zone. Them three was they were taking control of the communication and your television. They were getting ready to introduce you to another world. And the Twilight Zones opened up and said, we're now implementing the fifth dimension. This was back in the 60s that they were talking about the fifth dimension. We didn't listen to all of it. We got distracted, but that was the vision that they were showing you what they were getting ready to do in black and white. T. to be able to control the media, to be able to control your mind, to be able to control what you think. And so this is what's happening, that they have implemented and perfected to what they feel that they now have control of the human mind, because that's what they needed to control. They can never enslave the spirit and the soul, but they can, sure enough, control the mind. If you control the mind, what follows?
Well, the rest of your body follows.
I'm sorry, how's that?
No, I'm sorry, Brother Ray, go ahead.
No, you said something. What were you saying?
No, I said the rest of the body will follow. You said if you control the mind, what happens?
If you control the mind, it takes the rest of it. All of it, the body is going to go with it. But that's the part that they're doing, because they no longer, they freed the body from captivity, but they took the mind. They've enslaved the mind, because really the part that saves us, some of us, is because we have a heart, and the heart is the seat of the will. Because the mind is nothing but a air traffic controller for the rest of the body, because all the rest of the brains in the body are connected, because the brain grew the body. That's the way nature planned it. You become a cell, then you become an embryo, then you become a fetus. But in that part of the becoming that embryo, that's where the brain begins to grow the body, because all of the cells join enough together to where they get enough energy to create the brain, and then they shoot down the spinal cord, and then you look like a tadpole for a minute, and then you become the fetus. That's why they look at the first 2 months and then the last 7 months, and every stage of your development will always be in seven. You turn into a fetus and you grow for 7 months, you come out, you grow for 7 years, and you start the process from being a child to becoming what? You're going into the next stage. Next seven, you will be an adolescent. You can produce another one of yourself. Women are the only ones who can make copies of us. Men can't do it.
They can't do it without us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what about the cloning that they do?
Yeah, but what Dick Gregory said, they're around here making test tube babies and planting them. And see, the thing about even when they make test tube babies, they have to put them into a human body. That's why they get women that are in comas and put them there. Then they can reuse her as a breeding ground, because they tried making sacs that would be like the womb of a woman. They can't do the science work of the human body, what the woman body is made to do once it conceives a child. So in that part of cloning, they're going to turn around here and they're making children that's going to grow up and be in love with pop bottles and mason jars and all kind of glass items. So that's going to be a kind of thing to work with. But what we're seeing is the two things that's being killed. They're going for the children, and they're getting rid of the history. Because Brother Ray, you, myself, and Sister Antoinette, we're dangerous to their plan, because we know what we can do, because we were here when we did it to get us to where we are now, but they've turned around and distracted the next two generations. That's why they're regentrifying the community. Derek's right there in Chicago. I came up there at Comiskey Park. They moved it across 35th Street, put it up. Right next, they couldn't tear down Wentworth Garden, and they couldn't tear down Robert S. Abbott, so they built it right up next to Robert S. Abbott, who was the founder of the Chicago Defender, then changed the name and put it up on the street sign and call it the Air Force Academy now. They're regentrifying areas because they have now a new plan, and each development we went through, the agriculture, which was the slave trade, the industry that produced the cotton, produced the industrial age, and then we went from the industrial age, we went into the manufacturing age, and then from the manufacturing age came the technology. Then they sent all the factories out because what happened? We were getting ready to build Detroit, Chicago, anywhere where we had industry, and we began to grow. We began to grow communities. And what they saw, that was a threat, because they knew if we got the opportunity to rebuild Tulsa, Oklahoma, Auburn Street, Rosewood, and make that into an urban area, we would be the most dangerous people here on Turtle Island, because we know how to produce.
We still would do it if we organize ourselves today and move from among them and build our own communities.
But that's
and
what
that's
I'm saying, Brother Ray.
That's what we're doing.
Brother Ray, the part. Go ahead. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Sir.
With the land that we have identified, and now we just need to bring the people together. We've got architects and builders, contractors who can build whatever we want, but we are not together yet. We haven't organized ourselves to the point where we can do that and defend ourselves. We need a General Wesley around to defend us from when they do come. Because we know they're coming, but they don't want us to have our own. And that's why I pointed out to Prince George's County, Maryland, where they have run the black folk out of Washington, D.C., into Prince George's. So it's a good thing. Organize yourselves, brothers and sisters out there. You're the majority. Organize it and turn them dollars that you get for your taxes into your community. Build your own structure there. Teach your own children. You know, these curriculums among our people that speak truth and teach our people who we are. We can stop this.
And I can hear what you're sharing, Brother Ray. The part that I'm looking at is we create and we are given in excess of $1.3 trillion. We have a gross national product more than Canada. And as a people, 13% of the population, we make $1.3 trillion, and it does not stay in our community, as does the Jewish community, as does the Hispanic community, as does the Asian community. They create their own banks, they create their own business, and they prosper in creating Chinatown. They create what you have in New York. They have their community. But what I'm sharing is that, yeah, are you still there?
They learned that from us. That's what Tulsa, Oklahoma was. That we built many cities around this country. And we've had to fight. We didn't fight physically to keep them off of us, so they destroyed them. But I'm saying to you now, be prepared to fight, because they can't. They cannot win. Spiritual warfare, they cannot win. And I'm saying,
and
to use a spiritual means, we can win this battle and we can run these people out of our communities. I don't believe that all these communities wouldn't want to hurt us. They'll work with us.
I'm agreement with you, but what we have to do is we have to start, just like the sister, the 19 people here in Georgia, organized and got tired of when Aubrey got killed here in Brunswick, Georgia, and they got together after a couple of more shootings in Atlanta. They put 19 families together. They pooled their money together, and they went and bought 97 acres. They began to take and process by taking down the pine trees to send it to the mills to make the wood that they would get back from it, and build their first center. They started off with a center, but the first two things they did with the first black camp out, number one, they taught survival training. Number two, they taught gun safety. Those two things, how to survive and how to use a weapon.
So that's what we need to be doing, is what I'm saying to you. We need to do all those things, and organizing is the way to do it. No one of us can do all those things. You know what I'm saying?
I know, and this is right. But what, and even what you, the folks that's not even listening to Carl Anderson, and to some of those elders that like yourself, like Claude Anderson, those elders that were telling us and teaching and reaching out, yes, there's a few of us is listening and doing, but the masses have so distracted. I just sent Sister Antoinette a clip of a little white boy, his teacher, asking him, what do you want to be? Do you know what the little boy told his teacher he wanted to be? I want to be a murderer. I want to kill people. I want to kill the world, but not my family and not you, my teacher, but I want to kill people. This was a little, he couldn't have been no more than, not at 8 years old. This is the mindset that they've trained these children, because I play killing games. What do we give our children to educate with? Why do you think that Chicago has such high carjacking and gun shooting? It's because what do they sit there and watch?
Because we've not we've not trained and taught our own communities. We've not have our own schools. Right up the street from me, where I live here in Miami, there is a school for wayward black kids. A big building, nice building. And it was put together by the county. Now, this has been for the last, 10, 15 years. The other day I was walking by and I said, wow, they put up these blockers, these shades around the fence so you can't see through. And it changed the name up the top, but I never paid attention to it. And I heard the kids, you know, laughing and crying and, you know, playing and all. And I decided to stop and take a look. I peeked through the hole and it was all white kids, all Jewish kids, y'all. So on the building, what used to be a public school, now is a private Jewish school, and they did it very quietly. And it's done. It's a done deal. But we could do the same thing. We could teach our children. We could have our own universities, our own schools, where we teach our history to our children so they'll know who they are and we'll know where, from whence we have come and the power that they have. But that was taken out of us. It was taken out of us back in the 50s and the 60s when they took all the trades out of the public school. Because then you could go to public school and you could learn to be an electrician. You could learn to be a plumber or a mechanic. And you could make a living.
Okay.
So they stopped that. They cut it out. Now you have to pay to go to those schools to get that kind of education. And you don't have the money because you don't have a job.
But that, too, when we look at it, when that came about, because, see, Du Bois talked about the Tallahassee 10. Booker T said the other 90, we're going to teach how to be tradesmen and craftsmen and do the other thing. Yeah, you can have the intellectual, but you need the people to know how to build what you're going to live in, what you're going to eat, what you're going to manufacture. And so when that division came, that happened in that time, because that's how we built Tulsa, Oklahoma, was from the people that graduated from Tuskegee University. And so what we're looking at today, with just what I just shared with you about Hampton, New York, is the HBCU, but now it's getting ready to offer these refugees to come in a free scholarship ride to go to their university.
And we should be on the streets, March. We should be on the streets right now, creating an opposition to them ignoring the black people and the people who are on the streets homeless while they give our money to other people from other countries. And
where is
our leadership?
But that's what I'm sharing.
Brother
Bragg, you know,
and Brother Kwame, they are talking about protesting that. The students are, saying the protest, the president of the school and also the politicians that are backing this, because they are giving them free education, free room and board, and, you know, the whole bit. They're getting a whole free ride.
Well, we need to put a stop to that.
And I found it amazing, because Ukrainians in general, from what I've seen, do not like black people. They treated the black people that were there very badly, and then to come and allow them to go to a black school freely is a slap in the face. So I'm glad to hear that those folks in Hampton, Virginia are you know, stepping up, and they are turning out. You know, like, no, we don't appreciate this.
Do you have a number for them? Because we need to hook up. I need to make a call. We need to hook up with them. That's what these shows are about. That's what these blogs are about, to pass this information and connect us. So we need to get that number. We need to call and see if we can do it. I got people up there in that area, Virginia area, doing the drum call. We've got a tribe up there who have joined the drum call. And all I got to do is ask them to go meet with the Hampton students. They'll do it. And that's how we got to organize this thing. We have to get organized. We got people all over the country.
I do see a number, Brother Ray, for Hampton University. So I will send you that number.
And I'll be right on it on Monday morning. I may try to get on it tomorrow. But I'll be right on it, and I'll report back to those of you who all want to know. We'll pass it on and see if we can, you know, begin to do these things. This is what it's going to take. And we have to understand that this government is not for us. A government of the people, by the people, or for the people. It's for themselves, and they're robbing everybody. You know, so we got to put a stop to it in this one.
But when we say we have to deal with the government and we have to hold back, and the part that we have to look at, too, is how are we going to compensate if we're looking at how do we get these billions of dollars that are implemented, that we pay in tax dollars, that are taken from us, and then saying that how does it get used, and these are the people that we have to begin to educate. How is that school funded that these books and curriculums are paid for and these teachers are paid for by our tax dollars, but they're not concerned about our children? And do these people come out of our community that have degrees in the community or in that area of where those schools are? We got to begin to look at whosoever, Julius Nyerere said, whosoever educates your children controls your future.
But so that's where we got to start. We got to be educated ourselves. First of all, you need to know that the IRS is a private corporation. It's a private corporation that controls our money. We don't know that. We're paying a private corporation, thinking we're paying into our own government. So we need to know that, and we need to be strong enough not to do it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, but these are all the curriculums, like you said. The vocational was taken out of the school. Well, we have to get on the school boards and saying what curriculums are being given to our children. Because right now, they're talking about teaching our children same sex and LGBT, and we are not uproaring about that. And that's the most dangerous thing to do with a young child's mind.
If we have our own
Brother Ray, I see what you're saying, but right now, we don't have our own school system. We got to work with what we got.
We got to start with what we have. Well, that's what I'm saying. You're saying the same thing. We got all the money that we need. Like you said, we make how much money are we making every year? And we're giving it away?
$1.3 trillion.
We're giving it away. Every corner store, every bank, every car dealer, all the things that we give our money to, we should be putting back in our own community. We could have everything that we need and want. Okay, that's the only thing that's the part. You know, we don't have to be dependent on this one.
Do we have how many black grocery stores are in Miami? Black that's owned by black people born in this country.
We have to create them. I'm talking to these preachers down here now.
Okay.
I talked to one today. I said, listen, we've tried to open our own supermarket. You all rejected it. Now you see that you have to have your own supermarket. Let's do it. And they're going to do it now. But they rejected it when we brought it to them at first. But now they're seeing that these Hispanics and these Mexicans that they're bringing into the country have everything they need, and they're ignoring the black people. But just because we are not organized, we don't take care of our own, and we have to do that.
But that's why they ignore, because we're not. And when they come in and see that we don't own anything and we're not doing anything but what they see on the media, then what are they looking at? How do they look at us and look at us to see? How do they respect themselves by not having and providing their children with their own food, their own this and their own that? We come here out of the country. This is what we did in our poor country, and we come here to the rich country, and they're not even doing it. So let
yeah,
us do what they're not
they
doing.
Have not been in, they have not been introduced to this white man who has enslaved our people and have beat them down. But it's time for us to stand up is what I'm saying. Ain't no more beating, y'all. We ain't going to take this crap no more, and the young people ain't going to do it. Thank God. They decided they're not going to
do it. No, they're not going to do it, and I'm very proud of that, too. But the other part, too, is they got to be guided. Anger is not going, like you said, spiritual warfare. How many of them know the spiritual things in which we are talking about in the historical spiritual work of how did Haiti win its freedom and independence? It was through some bloodshed, but it was mostly through spiritual warfare.
Well, I just think that we have the answers, and we're not organized yet to do it, but we're getting organized. We're going to take charge of what's happening to us in our communities. You know, we can point out to Chicago, we can point Washington, we can point just about any big city where our people are just not organized. And we're allowing our own people to be a part of that system to oppress our people. And we're going to have to stop that. We're going to have to deal with it. And we're going to have to, you know.
But could I make a suggestion and saying one thing that I'm looking at and starting the Overground Railroad and creating Oasis? We have to come out of that man's house and come out and start building our own houses. That's why I shared with you about those 19 families coming and starting small and building over in a little town area where they can come and organize and build a store there and build an office there that a doctor can work in, build a store that a dentist can come and open his office in, build a place where we can come in and begin to manufacture and provide produce and foods that we need for being farmed from the land, from the people that live in the area. We can't compete in the gentrification of Washington, D.C. We can't deal with Chicago and the competition and the monies that run that, but we can come outside and come back to nature. That's where I see the organization coming. We can't
We're saying the exact same thing. That's exactly what I'm telling you. I'm talking about. We have to come away.
Right,
from
but
that.
I'm organizing. You're speaking of Washington, Chicago. No, come outside of that plantation. That's an urban plantation.
Well,
urban plantation. Come back to nature. Come back and build on land that you buy 20 or 40 acres, 97 acres that they bought. They buy the land and begin to get the energy that comes from connecting to the spirit of the ecology. That's where we're going to win.
Well,
there is the spirit in the land.
That is the example that we need to follow. I agree. I don't have any argument with that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And I said, we put together over 300 acres of land that we could do this on, but we didn't have the spirit that those people in Georgia had to do it. And we have not been able to get the brothers and sisters to come, to organize, and to do it. We got the land. We got black folk who own the land right now. Okay? But we have to get organized to go in.
And this is you talking about Maryland, Prince George, Maryland, right?
No, that's just an example. We got people in Georgia.
No, but what
I'm going to
share with you, 2015, I went to Prince George and to Brandywine, Maryland. That's where it's at. The sister lived up on Emerson Road up there in D.C. area up there in Washington. And right around the corner from the main headquarters of the IRS. It's funny you mentioned that. The main headquarters in Washington is right there off of Emerson Road up there in Maryland. And they've turned around. Her grandfather died. He had a pastor. They took the insurance money. She bought $500,000, bought 10 acres, bought a house with a pole barn, moved her grandmother and her mother in there, and we took and converted that pole barn into a school because we was running a school in the basement of that house. We bought that house and built that, had that pole barn converted, and now she has that school, and she has bought a business that she is metaphysical. It's a juice and health food bar that she opened right there in Maryland, and where you talking about Prince George, whatever y'all call them names. And she is doing good with those two businesses. The white folks were attacking her because we built a sweat lodge, we put a teepee there, and we had a school there. And we had people coming from D.C., Baltimore, and New York, and those surrounding areas was coming there to come to school. The brother that I taught there just Monday received and sent me his picture of his doctorate that he just received.
Well, you see, my point to you is this. This is why we have to come together. We have people with different information, with information that we need to have. Now, I guarantee you, from just what you said now, we got other people up there in Prince George's County that don't know about that. And now they will know about it, and they will try to connect.
Yeah, and I'm one.
And go. Okay?
What did they do to Jay Winter Night Wolf? What did they do to Jay Winter Night Wolf? They took him off air. And he still got himself a YouTube program. But Jay was our voice there in D.C. He was the voice. Jay Winter Night Wolf was on WOAL or whatever that station is, the one that you always on.
I was on with Night Wolf a couple of weeks ago, about 3 weeks or so ago now. I was on with him.
Yeah, but he had to come off the main FM station and get onto a YouTube and an off-brand station that he's got connected to. But Jay was the main voice there for us, and he helped even participate in what we set up there.
Well,
I see you organize, but I'm saying these are the organizations that I can say, yeah, I did something here. Coming out of Chicago, I did over there at the Comedic Institute on Oakland Wall. Been there and started the Black United Front. Did the first white supremacy conference at Kennedy King High School. Jake Carruthers, Anderson Thompson, all of them people.
Yeah, you know, we need to continue those things and continue to organize and teach our people and let them know that we do not have to depend on a system that has done nothing for us but lie to us, cheat us, kill our kids, put us in jail. Okay, so now we just got to turn that around. And you turn that around by doing what you're suggesting and what I'm suggesting, organize,
We have to just do it. We got to stop saying organize. Just begin to do it.
Well,
we didn't organize anything. We just put word of mouth and said Overground Railroad, we need to create oases. We need to start doing rites of passage. We need to start doing manhood training. We need to help correct and heal the women that have been damaged by men. And we began to do it. We started networking and doing it.
Well, we just need
to
know
that we're not looking at organizing
with
leadership.
How to connect so that what you're doing can spread and help others as well. That's what this organizing is. It's to passing the word along so that we can know what to do. You've shown, you've given examples. Okay, that's a great idea. Let's do that. Let's just assist in that. You know,
but what I'm sharing is, Brother Ray, we don't call it organizing anymore. We just do it. We see the need, and we began to do it.
Well, that's fine. So what has to happen is that others need to know that this is being done. And I guarantee you, based on what we've talked about today and what other shows I've been on and talked about, other things that are coming out, people are hearing another point of view and they're trying to find ways out of the misery that we've been put in.
Right.
And they realize now that, okay, we have been put in this spot, and we don't have to stay here. We can organize ourselves. We are very important people. We're intelligent people. We got all this energy. We got all of this ability. We need to use it for our good, not just for the individual good, but for our good as a people. You know, if
right.
I help
and,
you,
and
I help
this
me.
Is what. Right, and just like when I told you Mac was coming there, Mac was there, and Mac turned. You were trying to get a web page and get information put out so you could have it to put on the web, and I connected. Mac got there, and you and Mac got together. What did you get?
Oh yeah, he did.
What did Mac create? What did Mac? He created your what?
He created a website. Yeah.
Right,
but it was, yeah, but it wasn't. It was called. It wasn't called what we.
It was part of the organization that we founded for the youth group. Is that that's how we began to put the information. We put it in another group, and we began to show it that we can put this. This is a worldwide group. The youth group that we deal with is worldwide. And so to put you on there, put you to the world and seeing what you're doing with the drumming. We didn't organize. We began to do and put in networking about helping to save us.
Okay. Well, I went with him to the drum call that they were having, and that's something that we need to talk about. And I said to him, I need to talk to you about this, and we do. And I don't want to talk about it now, but we do need to talk about it. And I think, like I said, and I've always said, we have to organize ourselves first. We cannot have others organizing us to do for us. And what I went through, I was not very pleased with, but that's something else altogether, and that's something that needs to be discussed. Even that, with some of the folks that I'm working with as well, had questions about some of these things, and these are things that we need to organize to talk about so that we can get on the same page. But I'm not one of those who will allow others to lead where I need to lead myself. And I think that's one of our problems as a people. We've let other people to direct our path. We need to direct our own. We need to stand on our own two feet.
I'm in agreement with you. It's just like for me, and I look at it and I understand, you know, Mac is not one, but Mac's heart is there for what he's doing to implement, to helping the people. I can see that part. I learned something. If the devil brings me a message from God, I'm going to take the message, not the messenger.
Well, let me just send you there, and you wanted to discuss this. When they put the site up, it was a great site. I enjoyed it. But they put my name on it, which was great, I think. But I didn't know about it until someone said, your name is up here on this program. Is this your program? I said, well, I have to look at it and see. It was Mac, and you're right. They put it up to help, but you have to acknowledge, and you cannot just use people's names without their acknowledgement, without their knowing. You don't put it up and then call them and tell them, we got your site up. Okay, no, you have to clear that stuff before you do it, not do it and then clear it. And that was the problem that I had with it, and I would deal with that.
Excuse
me, gentlemen. We need to take a break for a moment. I'm going to play a clip,
okay.
And we'll be back with you in a moment.
We begin tonight with the nation already on edge in the coronavirus pandemic as protests turn violent across America. The arrest of a former Minneapolis police officer.
Making a commitment involves dedicating yourself to something like a person or a cause. Before you can make a commitment, I need you to think carefully. Amen. A commitment obligates you to someone or to something. The commitment to the solution is the answer to the problem. The commitment, come on, The commitment to the solution is the answer to the problem. Come on, Pastor, we need a strategy. Pastor, we need some direction. The direction is that as long as you're dealing with the problem, then you're giving the problem the energy. But once two people come together and agree that they're going to get in the boat, listen to me. The disciples waited on Christ. He did not come. They did not get weary. They did not give up. They got their butt in the boat. The first thing we need to do is make a commitment. Get in the boat. Grab the oars and begin to row. I'm going to show you what that looks like. It is when you commit yourself to something. You commit yourself to a person. Hallelujah. You commit yourself to a call. In this instance, I'm talking about committing yourself to a people, committing yourself to a cause. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, the first strategy is I need you to commit. And when I say commit, I'm not talking about Jamie. I told you I'm being honest. I ain't trying to tell nobody business. But somebody called me 2 weeks after we had a counseling session and said, Pastor, it didn't work. I said, what didn't work? What you told me. I said, what I told you 14 days ago didn't work. I told you 14 days ago. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that Dr. Martin Luther King and the Montgomery bus boycott, it lasted for 381 days. Commitment.
That was the day that we started a bus protest.
Commitment. Commitment. Sometimes the only way to get a solution is you have to commit yourself to something. And when I say commit yourself to something, I'm not talking about for a weekend. You think you're going to post for a weekend and make some changes? Oh, Pastor, are you saying there's something wrong with posting? I'm not telling you how to protest. But if you think for 1 minute that you're going to protest for a weekend, if you think you're going to protest for a week, if you think you're going to protest for a month, I'm telling you, you don't have to question the strategy. You don't have to question the system. You don't have to question. All you got to do is go to Dr. Martin Luther King and look at the history and study it. You don't have to worry about what people are saying. You don't have to worry about what people are thinking. All you got to do is go to the model. All you got to do is go to the individual. Hallelujah. That was most successful. Hallelujah. All you got to do is go to Gandhi. All you got to do is realize that it's not going to happen in 3 days. Amen. And some of us are going to post for the weekend. And some of us are going to post for a week. You know why? Because it's convenient. It's convenient to look like you committed. And some of us are going to go and march for 3 or 4 days. And some of us are going to march for 7 days. And some of us are going to get up and in our emotions and we're going to do all that talking. But I'm here to tell you today that yes, change can come, but change don't come when you convenient. Change only comes when you make a commitment. And Dr. Martin Luther King led his people for 381 days. 381 days, nobody took the bus. And 381 days, people walked to work. And people walked home. And people walked to the store. For 381 days, people were inconvenienced. I'm talking about a commitment. You talk about convenience. You talk about how you look in front of other people. You talk about what other people going to say about you. You talking about trying to gain some political power. Or you talking about trying to get somebody to see what you're doing. I declare to you today, Martin Luther King, hallelujah, when they weren't here. 381 days. 381 days. 381 days. No bus. Hallelujah. No transportation. 381 days. Hey man, they carpooled. 381 days. They had to get up 3 hours early so they can get everybody to their destination. 381 days. That's over a year. 381 days. Not 30 days. Not 3 days. 381 days. And you want to get online for 3 weeks and act like you done something. You want to get on for a weekend and act like you done something. You want to post and act like you done something. You want to walk when you want to. You want to go march when you off work. And you want to God. You want to show your solidarity when you got time. 381 days. Dr. Martin Luther King had a PhD. Dr. Martin Luther King had a job. He could have lived anywhere he wanted to. But guess what? He was committed. He was committed to the cause. So he lived in the neighborhood. He was committed to the cause. So they used his car. He was committed to the cause. So he walked. Your little 3 days. You ain't doing nothing. You're doing what's convenient to you. You're doing what people are seeing you do. You're doing what's making you popular. You're doing what's bringing you attention. Dr. Martin Luther King wasn't looking for no attention. 381 days. 380 days. They marched. 381 days. They fed each other. 381 days. They took off their lunch and couldn't go lunch because they had to pick somebody up and take somebody. 381 days. They got home late because they were picking each other. 381 days. Is this convenient for you or is this a commitment? Some of us been doing this for a real long time. Before social media, we was doing this. I was 14 years old. My mama had me out, Jamie, registering people to vote at 16 years old, 14 to 16 years old. At 20-something years old, when I was in college, I was registering people to vote. I ran a GED program. We was doing gun back stuff. Some of you, you doing it because it's convenient. I'm looking for everybody who's committed. I'm looking for the folks to say, if I got to do this for a month, if I got to do this for 6 months, if I got to do this for a year, if I got to do this for 5 years, if I got to do this for 6 years, if I got to do this for 10 years, whatever it takes, I'll do whatever it takes. And I'm telling you today, Martin Luther King said, we shall overcome. But I'm telling you, he said it because he waited in the morning and it didn't happen. He waited in the afternoon, it didn't happen. He waited at night and it didn't happen. And he jumped in the boat. He got in the boat and there were some folk that got in the boat with him and they grabbed the oar. You ready to grab your paddles or you just want to talk? You ready to grab your paddles or you just want to be seen? You ready to grab your paddles and do the work? Some of us been doing the work forever. God said, there's a reason why I make you wait. I make you wait because I'm trying to see people's pure intentions. 500 miles. Booker T. Washington walked 500 miles. He walked 500 miles. I'm not mad at you. I can't tell you how to protest, but I'm telling you, I'm not looking at some folks in 2020 to show me how to protest. I'm going back, amen, to the Bible. And the Bible says Jesus was so committed that he left heaven, he came on earth for 33 years, and then he died on the cross committed. Not convenient committed. Yeah, Peter was convenient committed. Yeah, because when they called Peter to the carpet, he denied Jesus not once. He denied him three times. He walked with Christ when it was convenient. He walked with the Master when it was convenient. There are those of you who are doing what you do because it's convenient, but some of you ain't never made a commitment, and we're not going to be able to solve any problems until we put both feet down and we make a commitment. We sacrifice our heart. We sacrifice our mind. We sacrifice our soul. I didn't say he caught the plane. I didn't say he caught a ride. I didn't say he rode his bike. I said he walked 500 miles. Commitment. Commitment. Went to Hampton. Oh, come on, come on. I know you read the story. They denied him. That night, he went to the library, and he cleaned the library, Jamie. Not once, not twice, three times. And when they came back the next day, and they saw how clean it was, they took their finger, and they put their finger on the wall. A white wall, and guess what happened? There was no dust, no dirt. Committed. They said, no, he could have went home. No, you can't come here because of the color of your skin. He could have said, no. He walked 500 miles. You thought he would have needed at least 3-4 days sleep, but it's not about what's convenient. He got in school, graduated, and became a professor. You're not hearing what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is, hallelujah, you got to make a commitment. And then after he graduated, became a professor. He founded Tuskegee for African Americans. An institution that is still productive to this day. I need you to be active, hallelujah, but I need you to be passive, meaning that while you're waiting, you're doing something. What did I do? While I waited, Jamie, I got the PhD. I saw what happened to Emmett Till. I saw it, so I went back and got the 4-year degree while I waited. I went and got the master's while I waited. I went and got the PhD while I waited. We starting a summer school for kids. Come on, come on. With a curriculum, Jamie. With music. We're bringing in Grammy artists. We got somebody helping them with the SAT test and the ACT. Helping them with standardized tests. You're not hearing what I'm saying. We're helping them, Jamie, with conflict resolution. Jamie, we're helping them to be entrepreneurs. Jamal's going to introduce them to make real estate real so they can learn how to get profit. You're not hearing what I'm saying, Jamie. Yep. Why you wait? I know you want to do it when it's convenient, but while you wait, instead of playing video games, while you wait, educate yourself. While you wait, become a lawyer. While you wait, become a judge. While you wait, get economic freedom. While you wait, start a community program. While you wait, educate the police system. While you wait, change the culture. While you wait, don't tell other communities to be a blessing to our community, and we're tearing our own community down. While you wait, build businesses in your community. While you wait, teach kids how to read. While you wait, tell daddies to get in their kids' life. While you wait, strengthen single-parent mothers. While you wait, bring folks to church. While you wait, pray and wait on God. While you wait, while you wait, while you wait, do something. While you wait, do something. You need leadership, Jesus Christ. You need leadership, Dr. Martin Luther King. You need leadership, Booker T. Washington. You need leadership, Malcolm X. What did they do? They did something. They made a commitment in prison. Malcolm X made a commitment to the Nation of Islam. He came out, and there might have been 30,000 folk. He made a commitment, and in less than a few years, he had recruited 500,000 people to the Nation of Islam. He made a commitment. He wears glasses not because he couldn't see. He wore glasses because in jail, he read. I'm telling you to make a commitment. You want to help the cause, read. You want to help the cause, study. And Jamie, when I was 19 years old and I saw the Emmett Till story, from that day forward, I would go to the library. People ask me, do you know this artist and this artist? Have you seen that movie? And Jamie, I'm embarrassed to say, no, I haven't. Why? I wasn't watching movies, Jamie. I was in the library and I was studying Souls of the Black Folks. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm telling you? Succeeding Against the Odds. You not hearing what I'm telling you? I start reading The Mayflower, Make Me Wanna Holler, Nathan McCall. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you today that you gotta get in the boat. And some of you, you think you're doing something because you're standing by the boat. You think you're doing something because you're around the boat. You think you're doing something because you call the people name out who in the boat. You think you're doing something because you care. You think you're doing something. You ain't doing nothing until you make a commitment. Wait, wait, wait. I'm waiting just like you wait. I'm hoping just like you hoping for the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm hoping just like you hoping that one day it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. Hallelujah. I'm waiting just like you waiting to get pulled over and know one day that as an African-American man, I don't have to fear for my life. I'm waiting just like you waiting. If I go to a bank, I'm going to get treated like everybody. I'm waiting just like you waiting. I'm anxiously hoping for it just like you hoping for. I got an African-American son. I got an African-American daughter. I'm waiting just like you wait. Don't think I ain't waiting like you wait. Don't think I'm not longing for it like you longing for. Don't think I'm not like you. But I'm telling you, the difference between when you make a commitment to something and it's just a convenience, you lose your hope. I'm telling you, we can't lose our hope, because once you lose your hope, you lose everything. I'm here to tell you that once you get started, you can't stop until you get there. I'm telling you, when you get in the boat, you make a commitment. It doesn't matter if the gale comes. It doesn't matter if the winds and the waves come. It doesn't matter if the storm comes. Just keep rowing. This is what I mean when I say wait. When I say wait, if the ship goes down, you keep rowing. If the sides come off, you keep going. If you lose one of your paddles, you keep going. Hope, hope. Don't ever lose your hope. Don't let some evil, don't let some hatred, don't let some circumstance, don't let some situation. Martin Luther King said, and I have a dream. I have a dream that one day we will get there. I've been to the mountaintop. We can't lose our hope. We can't lose our faith. We can't lose our hope. We can't lose our faith. Because when you lose your faith and you lose your hope, you stop rowing. When the boat comes from up under you, keep rowing. Don't get so emotional that you stop rowing. Don't get so emotional that you lose your strategy. Don't, oh, come on. Dr. Martin Luther King, I promise you, they sick the dogs on him. He kept his hope. They put him in jail. He kept his hope. They put the water hose. He kept his hope. They beat him. He kept his hope. Whatever you do, don't lose your hope, because once you lose your hope, you lost everything. The last thing we need is to give up. The last thing we need to do is to give in to racism. The last thing we need to do is lose hope. We can't. Martin Luther King worked too hard. Malcolm worked too hard. Fannie Lou Hamer worked too hard. Michael Stoney Carmichael worked too hard. Medgar Evers, he worked too hard. Booker T worked too hard. Harriet worked too hard. Martin worked too hard. Frederick Douglass worked too hard. Nat Turner worked too hard. They worked too hard. Coretta worked too hard. They worked too hard for a us to stop now. Rosa worked too hard. They worked too hard for us just to give up now. Now we got to press and not press for a weekend. Not press for a week. Not press for a month. 381 days. 381 days. 500 miles. 500 miles. 381 days. 500 miles. Now we got to put our seatbelts on and we have to commit. I'm not telling you how to commit, but I'm telling you don't do it for a weekend. I'm telling you, don't do it when it's just convenient to you. Don't do it to try to make money off of this situation. Don't do it because it's convenient. Do it because you're ready to make the commitment.
Well, thank you. I know that was a long wait. I have a suggestion. Outside of, you know, what Brother Ray has told us to hold our money when it comes to Christmas,
but even now,
support Black businesses as opposed to putting our money everywhere else.
I need to address Kwame and what he just said. I'm not going to let this go any further until I address that.
Okay.
Kwame, are you still there?
Okay, sure.
Oh, man.
Yes. Are you still there, Kwame?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Number one, I think Mac is a good person. I want you to know that. You sent Mac to me to help us put up our site. But when I went with Mac to the drum call that he had organized, I guess. When I got there, I was very impressed because there were Black people with their goods, their food, and their music all around. And I was impressed with that. And I went around and introduced myself to everybody, talked to them. But then I realized that the people who owned the building and the house and the land there were French, white men. And when I realized that when I went to meet them, I recognized that attitude right away. They didn't know who I was. I knew who they are just by seeing them. And then when their person came around to take everybody's address and number and all, I said to the young lady, I'll give you mine, you give me yours. She put her pad down and kept walking, refused to, you know, to give me their information. If she wanted mine, which I will never do, and I understand that. And I don't know if you know that or not, but I'm not the one to be under the control of any European, any French man who's come here to then again take advantage of a Black situation, which is what I see is happening at that particular place. And I said to the brothers that were with and that I work with, I'm not doing that. I don't even do that with the Dade County government. I won't even go into their place and do a drum call because this is ours, and it's not for anybody else to take charge and rule and make money off of our misery, and that's what was going on at that. So I don't know if Mac knows that or not, but I know it, and that was enough for me. So, you know, from now on, if you're going to send anybody, make sure they're not coming to trick us, not coming to lead us into the master's house because I ain't going. And I just wanted you to know that. Okay, we can go ahead on.
And I did not know that part of what went on there. The part what I was introducing in that we have an organization, a global organization, in which that's what we created and put you as an elder on the page, just as I'm an elder on the page, because we recognize and we honor the elders that have done work in our struggles, and to honor and say that this is part of the leadership that we look at and come to as talking to our elders. That's in respect for who we are as elders and what we have done. That's why he committed to making that presence known of what he saw for you. And in him using that network of whatever goes on there in Miami, I knew nothing about all of that. All I knew that there was a drum circle in which he gathered musicians that played drum. Him and the brother from Cuba came there, and they knew other musicians that drum. And that was the part in saying, okay, we will drum at this location, because I think the location that he spoke to you when we were talking about it, you said you knew of it and you knew the place where they were at because of the organization that was there at that location, was why they used that location. Because, I mean, if you know that there's some place there that you can go and that's supported and run by us, then you can suggest that to him and saying, we need to move this from there to here. That's something that you communicate. The only thing I was looking at is that you were talking about there had not been people that made you word commitments and saying that they were going to put you on a web page and do that, but no one had put it there. No one had put it on the internet where you can say you can go to this page and look up the information of what we're doing and what you had organized for the drum call. That's what I got Mac to do for you, to commit and put you in some place where when a person, you're on the show and they say, well, you can go to this site and you can read about what I'm doing. That's why he created it. With your permission, he asked you. Could he commit to putting your information?
Yeah, he did ask me, but he didn't. When I went to that location and I saw what the control factor was there, I'm not going to be a part of that.
That's not our organization. They're just using that space. They were using that space because they were able to go there. Okay, that's the part in saying that they're able to go there and drum. If you know somewhere else that you can get them to bring the people that are there, then you should be able to tell Mac, here, let's go to this location because we're not going to use and contribute to this European European economy.
That's my attitude. That's between you and Mac. On top of that, yes, I agree with you. But on top of that, I would say to you that if he was going to put up a site, put my name on it without my permission was the problem.
He asked you when you were in this conversation.
Yes. He asked me, could he put up the site? Yeah, no problem. I have no problem if you're going to help us do it. But the site, look at that site and tell me what you think. Because I have other people who work with us, and I don't want to take up much more time on this, but I have other people who look at the site and have asked me the question. So, yes, and it was a little embarrassment for me. But, you know, again, I'll work with anybody who wants to work with us, not for us, not control us, you know, and not have an attitude when I come in. To the place, have an attitude, a look down attitude at me. No, I'm not the one. I ain't the one for that. And I think that the black people need to wake up and do what we're going to do for ourselves. We welcome anybody to support us and come in with us, but they ain't coming in to take over nothing and run nothing that we got to do for ourselves.
This is what I'm sharing, Brother Ray, is that went and said with Mac, asking you first about, do you want this brother to do this? Because I've seen the one he did for me putting on it, because I've been working with the gathering of the youth, the global youth movement. That's what it's called, the global youth movement.
I think we can cut this short and do this on another time, not on the internet show. But I just wanted to voice, you know, my opinion on this, and I will speak with Mac, and maybe he'll understand what I'm saying or where I'm coming from. And I welcome him if he's going to work with us, and I welcome with anybody who's going to do that. And that's been our problem all along. I mean, I came up through this with Dr. King. They did the same thing to him. They came in to help, and next thing you know, they were trying to run off with it. I'm not saying that that's what's happening here, but I'm still not going to sit back and allow these people to come in
and take over our movement. It ain't going to happen. I've been fighting the Jews off down here over this, over the Free South Africa movement. I fought them off then, and I'll fight these guys off here. We're going to do this for ourselves. Thank you. Thank you. For no,
okay.
Thank you. We love you. Okay. So that's
okay,
the bottom
line.
Excuse me.
We have 15 minutes left, and it's storming here. So I'm going to take this last caller, area code 336, Sister Paris.
Greetings, Grand Rising, Thinkers family, Sister Antoinette, my phone does not receive things, but I'm on a project, and that was very, very inspiring, that clip or whatever, and I like to have that. I can't post it right now. But some kind of way, you call me and you can guide me, because that was very, very powerful, that clip that you played. And I want to thank us, because it's to the point. We got a lot of work to do, and we do not have time to just continue to jawjack. Family, I know we're elders, and we need to. We can only do so much. However, because of Brother Kwame, I have gotten steam up to this point, and I'm doing what I can do right from my house. Well, my bed here. I've been here a year and some months. And it's given me the bounty of seeing who is full of bullshit and who is not, family. And I'm very grateful. And Sister Antoinette, some kind of way,
yes.
I got to get a clip. And I appreciate it, because you hit what I needed on the spot, giving me some hope. Thank us. That's all I had to say. We got to stop this mess and move forward with doing something. And there are ones that are out there. If you're able to get to their campground, go to their campground and learn, family. Many of us are not in a position because of health issues and that kind of thing. But I give thanks every day, family, that the Creator has opened up this gate for me to do what I'm doing here at this facility. I don't know how long they'll allow me to do this, but I don't waste no time. If I can find a spot that I can go out there and take a doggone rake in my wheelchair, I do that. And I sent Brother Ray some information, but he says he doesn't know how to get it off of his phone. So I hope, Sister Antoinette, that you can reach out to somebody that can help him to get it off of his phone for the project that I'm doing here at the Gable. So it's helping to keep my sanity. You know, I'm not in the stronghold teaching like I would like to, but the Creator and the Tall One and the ancestors have opened up a gate for me to do something, you know, while I'm waiting for my body to heal. This is a long process, and I'm having to realize that I have to be self-sufficient. Nobody else is going to do what I need to get done but me, and I see that now. So thank us. Thank you.
Thank you, and I will try to find a way to send that clip to you. I have to find it, but I would try to do that for you. I'm going to go on to the next caller, because we have a couple callers behind
you. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Area code 313.
Good evening. This is Adwa, Sister Adwa, and Antoinette.
Sister Adwa.
how are you? And the brother that was speaking, I appreciate the video that you played, Antoinette, just as the sister before me. It was powerful. It was right on time for me. I'm grateful for being here with you tonight. I want to thank the brother speaking on behalf of holding our culture and not taking it every place where people can, you know, usurp our gifts. I really appreciate hearing you say that, brother, in terms of being aware of where we gather and where we, just let our energy flow any and everywhere. We need to be protective of it. And I appreciate you, brother, for standing strong with regard to our culture.
Okay, that was Brother Rex.
Yeah, Brother Ray.
That was Brother Ray.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I've been in the culture for a while. I was an African dancer and historian, and it was a fight because, you know, when you don't have the resources, people can entice you when they have them, you know, pull you away from you who where you supposed to be, you know, amongst your own, you know. And so I've seen it over and over again. I've seen it play out where we just give our culture away. So
amen.
I really appreciate your voice, brother, truly.
Thank you, and I hope that you will, you know, do something in your community. We got to organize and begin to let our people know what's going on, because they don't. They're following the evening news, and they don't get the real truth. And that's what
mm-hmm.
this program is about. We're sharing. People are giving different points of view, different ideas, and we have to make them work for us. And it's,
that's
and
right.
it's all about us. Yeah. So thank you so much, sister. God bless you, and keep up your good work.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sister Ottawa, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, I'm good. I'm listening.
Thank you. Okay. Area code 708. I believe this is Brother Eddie.
Greetings, family. Greetings. Greetings. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. You're loud and clear.
Good job, Eddie.
How is everybody doing, family?
Wonderful, my brother. How
well,
are you?
Well, I'm.
Great, 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 great class. Great class. I'm loving it. So I'm going to just be short and sweet and to the point. Basically, we have to learn what works. See, we're organizing, but the key is to learn what works, because if we know how it works, we know how to fix it. And we're constantly talking about fixing ourselves. So we have to learn what portions we have, what we're receiving, apply it, see if it works, and put it to test. We're the scientists. See, so let's use that science that is innately within all of us. So let's work it out. Sit yourselves down, family, and talk to me. Tell me what's on your mind. How in the world do you think we can understand if you don't even know who's crying and who's lying? Let's straighten it out. We can do it. With that, family, peace and love, and keep on doing your part. Everybody has one. Let's do it.
That's right, my brother. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Brother Eddie. Do you have anything else you want to add before I go to the next caller?
Nothing other than that. It's just, hey, keep pushing that right word. Balance it out. Because, as the brother was saying on the video, commitment. For me, that number hit home. 33, the 6, your word, your commitment, your passion.
Yes.
your vibration. That's why the college that we're in is Mother Nature. The beat of the heart, the word that comes from within. With that, go ahead to the next caller because I keep talking. Peace and love, family.
Peace, brother. Thank you. Okay. Area code 313.
Blessings. Blessings,
hello,
Deborah family. How you doing, everybody?
Blessings, sister. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And listening to you all.
God be the glory.
May God be the glory. That's right. And that's what we got to keep in mind. That should be the whole purpose. Whatever we do, it's got to be for the glory of God. Whatever we do, and if we do it, doing it, God said whatever we do, we're supposed to do it as if we're doing it unto God. But what I want to make a suggestion. Brother Ray, would you find something that you could suggest that we do to start organizing? Because saying to organize and we don't have a plan, it's just going over and over. That's like getting ready to get ready. Okay. But that's my suggestion. Can you give us something for us all to start on, to start the organization? And with that, I'm saying bless you. God bless you. To God be the glory. And I love you. And I'm going to go back to you.
Thank you, Ms. Kim.
Yes, indeed.
Brother Ray?
Yes. Well, you know, the whole plan, the whole idea is to get us to think about the issues that we face in our community, and every community has a different issue, except it's the same issue in black communities all over the country. And not only black communities, but brown communities, yellow communities, and if you want to put colors on people, we all have the same problem. Even the white communities have the same problems that we have. What I'm talking about is black communities organizing ourselves to address our issues and in our communities. I'm not trying to establish a organization that is going to direct everybody. What I'm saying is that everybody needs to direct themselves. We are all leaders among ourselves. But we have got to come together and hear ideas from other communities so that we can associate those ideas with what we're dealing with in our direct communities. One of the things that we all can do is to deal with those so-called elected officials who are not representing us. And everybody can do that in their own community. Now, if you need somebody to come in from outside to do that, then say so. But I think that you can do that in your own community, in your own neighborhood, in your own family, and in your own block. You can organize the people about what's happening to you, why the kids are unemployed, why the families are in this condition that they're in. You can do that. And that's what I'm saying. We can commit ourselves to doing that. And thank God for that clip, because it was very accurate. You know, we talk, but we don't do anything. But those who are doing something, share that so others can understand what it is that you're doing that they may not be doing or that they could do. And if they need help, they can call on you to show them what you are doing. This is all we're saying. Is that's how it's going to be. We have not committed ourselves to the point of establishing our own economic base where we can finance our own move. And everybody else has that. The Jews got it. Even the newcomers have it because our government set them up to do that and gives them money, put them in businesses, and they work with each other. They buy from each other. They support each other. We have not gotten back to doing that. We used to do it. But we got away from it. So it's time to get back to that. And we can build another Tulsa, Oklahoma. Only this time we'd be prepared for when they come. We know they're coming. So that's all we're saying. Organize yourselves.
Well, what about the holding of your money? What about if we start there?
Well, I mean, that's what organizing is. We know that Christmas is coming. Hold your money. Spend your money with your own people. Build your own community. Open your own corner store. You know, and going to any black community in this country, the corner stores are owned by anybody who comes in there and opens up a store. And we go in there and buy everything they're selling. Everything they're selling, including the drugs. Hello. So all I'm saying is we can put a stop to that by opening our own store. Our churches have the money to do that and could do it because it's our money. But we don't do that and create jobs for our own people. I suggested the thrift store. Open your thrift store. that makes money. These white folk are making so much money off these thrift stores. It's unbelievable. You know, I had a thrift store. I opened one, and I trained still young people how to run a thrift store so they could make money. But that whole idea was attacked by the system and destroyed by the system with our own people. So, you know, until we organize ourselves to the point where we understand that I'm prepared for it, then we can deal with it. But a thrift store is the best way to create income in our community. Everything is free. The only thing you got to pay for is your space. Okay.
But
so,
the other,
you know.
Could I?
Yes, sir.
Brother Ray. Yeah. And we're talking about that clip that we heard, and thank you, Sister Antoinette, for that clip because it had a lot of good information in it. And the part
yes,
that
did.
I'm seeing and organizing, what are the main sources in our community besides, you know, stores owned by somebody else? We have commitments of our own churches. Those churches are open up on Sundays, and some may have Bible studies maybe sometime during the week. But from Sunday to Sunday, you know, those in-between days from Monday to Saturday, most churches are not open. The thing that we could utilize that giving the children a space to come and to learn about who we are and use that church to teach about the things that that church symbolizes in being able to empower the children with truth of knowing our story, not just on Sunday from scripture, from the book, but there are other stories that we need to know about who we are and what we have done. That 500-mile walk that Booker T did in order to do what he did. And the thing that he walked to go to a university that didn't want to accept him until he cleaned the library. But the other part is, where did he get his first education from? A colored school. His first learning to read and write and arithmetic was done by a colored teacher in a colored school in a colored community.
And that's what we need to get back to. There's no doubt about that. You know, there's no doubt about that. When they integrated our schools, our kids went south. We stopped learning, and, you know, we had the best schools, the best educated people in this country when they had separate schools. We did. And we produced a lot of leaders. We produced doctors and lawyers, and we produced, you know, many people who did not.
Right. Even Dr. King was educated in a black school before he went to a university, before he went to Morehouse. He was educated in a black elementary school and a black high school. There were no integrated schools in Atlanta.
With black teachers who loved
at that time.
Our people. Yeah.
Right. And so what we're now looking at, we have these mega churches. We have these big glorified buildings that open up on Sunday and pass the plate to keep the lights on. But why don't use them lights to help educate the children, give them some light of knowledge? That's one thing that we could look at how we could do, because, yeah, we need the elected officials, but we got to put the children's mind to saying, how do you choose the people that's going to be representing you? That's a part of education, in knowing what the civil and the what we used to call in school, we had to learn that government. What is a Bill of Rights? What are the three branches of government? What are the branches of community government in the state? Who is your representatives? Who are who's on your school board?
And they took all of that out of the school system, and it's on us to do something about that, to teach our homes.
That's what I'm sharing. Open up the churches and utilize the church to bring the children. They do it with the synagogues.
We bought our own building here and to do that, and, of course, it was attacked because the system does not
or did not want us to do it. But I'm saying, okay, we're going to do it anyway, and we're going to organize ourselves so that if you come, we'll be prepared and waiting for you. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Go ahead, brother.
And that's,
brother wanted to say
something.
Go ahead. No, I was just saying, Brother Kwame, you know you're right, but and what we're saying, too, just like Brother Ray has been dealing with, the majority of our churches today have been corrupt. This is why, again, it all started in the church, in the basement of houses before we built churches. So, again, the actual church is us, the people, with this mindset to educate our people. So we can't look for these mega churches and churches because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. See,
right, okay.
Nothing else. We expose they behind for not doing what, again, history has taught us where we started and got all this from, the church.
Right.
See, and
right.
They're not doing it. So since we're talking about it, just like we say organize, you know, we basically got to lead by example, and we, the people, become the churches until the churches, and we're not waiting for them to get off their cans, but we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing as the church to lead the way. We can't wait on them. Like you said, just do it.
Right.
We can't wait on the church.
Right.
We are the church.
And that's why I made the suggestion with the Overground Railroad and creating the Oasis. The first classroom was sitting under a tree. If you want to go, if we want to go back to the first teachings, and where did Christ teach at? He didn't teach in a building. He taught in nature. So we got to come back, and this is why I came with the suggestion in the beginning, is that we have to come out of the urbanization and come back and create putting up tents and having a camp out for the kids on the weekend and sitting them around a campfire and giving them stories of truth. Let the earth and the above to come back to begin to show them how they can learn and being in an open classroom.
Well, one of the things that we can do is what the sister out in L.A. did, Pace News. I don't know if you've seen Pace News, but you need to. It's online. She's come up with a report card. Do they get an A or F or an F? What grade do we give them? Same thing for the churches, for the ministers. What grade do we give them? And what it is, it's an attempt to expose what they are not doing for the people. They are supposed to represent us, but they are not representing us. Now, if we can get the people to understand that that's what's happening, then the people can do something about that. We can put, like you said earlier, somebody said earlier, you got to put people in office that represent us. We put these people in office, and they sold us out. They're still selling us out. And we're allowing it to happen because we're not doing anything about it. So I'm just hoping that from what we learn and what we hear on these shows, that we begin in our own way to organize and do something about it, what's happening to us
right.
in our community. We got the same issue
right.
in every community. Do something about it. Here's a roadmap, okay? We also have a roadmap for the black family. It's just that we don't have the resources to put it out there to everybody. We're going to do that. But until we get the resources, you know, we have to do it the best way we can.
Right, but what I'm sharing, too, is that, yes, that's a good way with the report cards, but then, okay, we got a report card, but who is going to take their place? Is what we have to do is groom that generation that has knowledge enough to know what the needs of the people are and have the heart to stand for it and make the clip said, make that commitment. To know that this is what I'm committing myself to by representing my people. King did it. Malcolm did it. Booker T. Washington did it. Medgar Evers did it. All of those people that he mentioned made a commitment to dedicate their life purpose to doing what is needed to save the person and the people.
Well, one of the things that we can say, what I can say, is I am committed. I've been committed since day one. When I first met Dr. King, I was like 18 or 19 years old.
and I committed myself and have not turned back since then. The problem is others need to be committed to do the right thing as well. And like I said, once they murdered Dr. King, many of the warriors who were out there with us disappeared. They got scared, they got jobs, and they went into government, and you haven't heard from them since. And they're living well while the people catch hell. So again, if this generation, those who understand where we are now and are willing to do, commit themselves to causing a change, here are some of the tools that you can use, okay? You can identify your elected officials who are not doing their job. You can identify the ministers who are not doing their job. But you need to put in place that we know needs to be done. And we can do that. Nothing can stop us but us.
And this is why I'm here on this channel hearing what you're saying, because as an elder, I know that you know that which you have been experienced in. And for us to know it, we have to listen to how you say we need to organize and put it to what is going on now and take it and say, okay, we can use this foundation to build from, because this is what gave us the foundation to get us to where we are today, even if they don't want to recognize it.
Sister Antoinette.
Yes.
Brother Kwame, Brother Ray, may I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Brother Kwame, remember when you came to Fort Arizona or Camp Arizona there in High Point at the TP?
Yes.
Okay. Those churches were a part of me having to take the goddamn TP down, family. I went to court back and forth 2 years. All of this is on record. It took them 2 years to eradicate me, to have me to take that doggone TP down. And a big part of that, I found out later on, the churches were in cahoots with the owner of...
We lost you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can
you hear me? Okay, when I would go to the church, I was on a doggone walker, family, and doing that campground, okay? Brother Kwame can tell you what it looked like, whatever. Anyway, do you know they told me to leave their parishioners alone, that what I was teaching was of God dang devil? And a whole lot of stuff. I've never said this to anybody, but now that you talk about the churches, I got some of this stuff on film, and I'm going to do a documentary, I hope, before I leave the outgoing planet. Because just like Brother Harris says, the churches are doing what they're supposed to do. Do you know they had to go to a committee to ask that they come and help me chop wood for my classes? And I'm on a goddamn walker, y'all. There's a whole lot I could share with you about those goddamn churches there in High Point, some of the biggest churches on the planet, even in Florida. You know, so we might as well forget about the churches, because they're in cahoots with everything that is not for the people. It really bothers me. So I'm going to be quiet, because I really don't want to cook. But
Sister Farris, what we're saying is this. We start our own. You have the idea. There are people who think like you. Start your church. Start your church and do it. And you know, it's the clean glass, dirty glass thing again. You know, start your church and make it a clean glass. The people will see the difference, and they'll come. But we can't, you know, waste time arguing with them and criticizing them. They ain't going to never do what they're supposed to do. They're about something different. They're not about what Sister Paris is about. So Sister Paris, find the people around you who think like you and say, let's do this. And do it. That's leadership. Let's do this. And we're here to back you up and support you in a way we can.
And Brother Ray, you're correct, because this is why we did what we did. Some brothers here in Atlanta, and he's now in buying up properties. He opened up a bed and breakfast in Hot Springs, Arkansas, so we can bring people over there to go and dig crystals. But also we built a sweat lodge in the backyard, and we have it as a bed and breakfast that people can come there. And it's owned by in the community of our community. And what we're looking at is being able to create oases. These are stations along the Overground Railroad that can be housing people, that can be able to, even a sister in Maryland, and her husband started what's called the Overground Railroad Getaway. The Overground Railroad Getaway is a book that is like the Green Book, tells you all the different places in each state that you can go to that has monuments and things in which you can visit about our story, and places that you can stay in that's owned by our people, like in Tuskegee at Nature's Garden, like there in Maryland at the Healing Lodge. We have to create these spaces in order for us to come back to nature. Yeah, the churches is a thing that we got to look at. And like you said, there needs to be some new churches. The best church that I see is in nature. Follow the way. If you're going to be Christ-like, where did he preach at? He preached in nature. He didn't preach in the church.
That's absolutely true. And like I see, what I see is, for you, for example, to teach us what a sweat lodge is, what a sweat lodge is, what it does for you. You know, teach what you know. We have to begin to teach what we know. We're talking about them, but we're not giving any instruction. Brother Eddie does another thing. He teaches that. That's his class, and he teaches that very well. You know, and we need to select those things that are going to help our people and begin to teach them and give them the opportunity to learn.
And I have to share with you, I do teach on that, because what I teach is in recovery. I work with people, it's called White Bison, the Red Road to Wellbriety. It's a 12-step program in recovery for drug addictions and people coming out of prisons and people dealing with traumas. And what we do is that we use Native American cultural spiritual, because the Native American Sweat Lodge is the Native American church. This is where we go in to pray and sing our songs in that ceremony when using the four elements. I've been doing this over 25 years. And so in me using this in recovery and being able to take people and help guide them, the brother right there in Florida, Panama City, Lakota brother, him and his wife just now went and got some cypress and building a sweat lodge for a treatment center that hired them to come there and do the Wellbriety treatment program. We're doing this around the country. And so what I'm sharing with you is I'm speaking about it here, but this is what Mama AZ brought me up there to High Point, because she wanted to have a person that looked like her to do a sweat lodge, because there are not a lot of us doing it, and I have been teaching. I've got a sister just called me here in Atlanta. She said, I want to build a lodge in my mother's backyard, because she just bought a house and got a big backyard. I said, here, you know how to do it, because I told you, you once were my woman, and I taught you all that I know. So she can go and do it.
Well, that's what has to happen, and that's what I'm saying, and the Native American community needs to know that we so-called black people are Native Americans as well, and we need to come together, because we are one people. Now, you know, my son,
Brother Ray, that is what Brother Kwame, that as long as I've been knowing him, when I first laid eyes on Brother Kwame, it was like my mom came and summoned Deborah Jackson to connect with Brother Kwame, to bring Brother Kwame from Georgia to my campground, you see. It took me 20 years, it feels like, for Brother Kwame to materialize who look like me, a Pody, meaning Baha'i, people of the eye, meaning black people, okay? When you hear that term, Pody, that's a Baha'i term, black people, pupil of the eye. I couldn't believe it. But it's been, what, 20, 30 years since Brother Tommy. And that's what he's been doing all the time, Brother Ray, but you're not mentioning. And, you know, maybe somebody can get you to one of Brother Kwame's sweat lodges because it's important. It is important. You see. So I'm gonna be quiet, sir.
Yeah, you need to be ready for a sweat lodge. I've been in one. I'm telling you, you need to be ready. Dr. David Imhotep, if you may know him, he booked one. The one who wrote the book, Africans Were the First Americans. He and I went to a sweat lodge back here in Miami some years ago. But I'm telling you now, you better know what you're doing. And Kwame, I think, the qualified person to teach, and that's what we're
saying. No, brother Ray. Brother Kwame is qualified. He is qualified, okay?
That's what I'm saying, Sister Parrish. I'm saying that, and I'm saying we need to organize to the point where that information needs to get out across the country to other people who don't know anything about it. That's what I'm saying to you. And that's what I'm saying to our people.
I can share with you this. If you go to Atlanta and you talk to some black people and say, we want to go to a sweat lodge, the first person they're going to tell you is me.
And that's great. So we need to expand it. We need to get it in other cities where people know. We need to teach it so we can send out.
But what I'm saying, Brother Ray, what I'm sharing with you is I have known around the country. I've done sweats from California to the East Coast, from North Carolina, South Carolina. I've done Alabama. I'm invited to go up there to Illinois in Navo for the 40th anniversary of the revolution, the peace revolution, on June the 5th. And then there's another community, the Sisters on Female Solutions. They want me to come there to pour a sweat lodge for them up there. This is what I'm saying, Brother Ray. I'm 70 plus. I have been doing this for the past over 25 years. I've taught.
I think that's the reason why Brother Ray is suggesting that you be the one to teach it.
I'm teaching it. That's what I'm sharing with him. It's not that I'm not teaching it. It's that I don't use the technology to put myself on. If you read my bio, you'll see what I do. But for most part, people know me by word of mouth. And this is what they have from the experience. I did for 15 years at English Gap. I had a campground that people would come and sweat. And some of the people are highly known people.
Would you explain to those who are listening what a sweat does for you? What happens?
Okay, now it's not okay. First of all, it's not a sweat lodge. It's called Inipe ceremony. The Inipe means sacred place. What is done is that there is a frame built out of willows, which is the tree in which they use that comes by the water. And when you peel the bark off a willow tree, you access the medicine that they make aspirin in. And so you cover those willows after you build the frame in the shape of an igloo, or on the same principle is that if you turned it over, it looks like a pregnant woman's belly. And in the door that faces the east is because you build the door to the rising of the sun, because what you're doing is that as the sun goes down, you will now enter into that sacred ceremony where you have a fire pit, you have an altar, and you have the Inipe. Each part of that is a connection of what goes on inside a woman's body when she has a child. There's a uterus, there's a womb that you crawl into, and you have the placenta. not the placenta, the, but anyway, it's the same order of that. And the stones, the grandmothers and grandfathers, I collected 28 of them because you look at the 28-day cycle. You put those stones on an altar built of wood, and then you light that fire, but you have to bless each one of those 28 stones. You pray to it and thank them for what they're getting ready to do in that fire is to bring back their life when you heat them up. And once you heat them up, you get all the people that's attending. You ask them, are there any medical problems or things that they have? Then you smudge those people with the sacred sage, white sage, in order to clear off any negative energy. They crawl in on all four. You crawl in from the left and you go around to the right. You go in the same direction that the sun goes in. You go from the left to the right side of that Anipe. You sit up on the earth. There's a pit inside of that. And inside of that lodge, which is covered with blankets or skin, so there's total darkness. No light can come into it. And the door is open, and the person that is the firekeeper removes the first seven stones, and they're brought in. And each one of them is acknowledged and greeted with the sacred herbs. And then there's a bucket of water called pajuta, which is the medicine that is used to create what's called the grandfather's breath, the steam. So when those stones come in and they're all glowing red hot, and as what they're doing is heating up because that's how they're formed. They brought back to life. And when we pour the water onto to the stone, you create what's called the grandfather's breath. And when the grandfather's breath begins to heat up the lodge, it begins to cause you to perspire. That's why they call it sweat lodge. But what it's doing is that it's removing the toxins from your body through the pores, which is your skin, the largest organ on there. And as you're being releasing the toxins and you're breathing in the grandfather's breath and the pajuta, which is the water, but it also has sacred herbs mixed with it in order to create the exchange, because the energy of the stones is now entering into you while the toxins that were in you are coming out of you. There are four rounds. Each round is seven sets of stones. You first stones that come in is the direction of the east, which faces the east is represented by the color yellow. It's represented the infant stage of life. It's the first part of life that we come into, and this is the part that you give your acknowledgement, who you are, what you're committed to, and then the song is sung. Everybody sings the song, make their acknowledgement, the door opens again, the next seven comes in. Those sevens represents the direction of the south, which is color of the red. It represents the red nation. It represents the earth. And in the earth representation of us sitting on it, we are connecting with the earth. And this is the representation of the south. The door opens again. Seven more stones are brought in. That represents the direction of the west, which is represented by the color black, which is black is the people who we are. It represents the place where the ancestors are. It represents where the rains come from and the thunder beings are. The door opens again for the next round. Seven more stones, the last of the 28, come in, and then the waters are poured again. For representing the north, which is represented by the color white, which is represented by eldership, the keeper of the fire. And so all four directions are represented in each one of those rounds of those 28 stones total. And then you crawl out of the Anipe, and this is the connection, because what you're doing is you're detoxifying the body while putting the energy of those 28 stones into you, who are the oldest record keepers that they are. You're using the four elements, air, water, fire, and earth. And that is the way the Anipe ceremony, it's a cleansing. It's a purification of your
self is much, much, much needed. Is there a book? Is there
Sacred Pipe, you can go, Sacred Pipe, which is written by Black Elk, who was a medicine Lakota. It's called,
what
the book is called Sacred Pipe. the sacred pipe is the chinupa. The people who honor and carry, which I carry a sacred chinupa, and honor because I had to learn the seven traditions of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota ways in which you honor. In the Humblecha, you have to be trained in how to do Humblecha. You have to be trained in how to do Inipe ceremony. You are made a four-year commitment in doing the Sundance. And then you also know the keeping of the soul. The other three ceremonies deals with community and the women.
Well, what I'm asking and the reason I'm asking is this. If there is a curriculum for what you're teaching, can we
I just gave you the book because all seven teachings are in that book.
I understand what you're saying, but listen to me, please. What I'm saying is that we need to institute this in every one of our communities because of the health conditions of our people. We can no longer trust the medical system. This is an answer to our problems health-wise, but we know nothing about it. What I'm saying to you, in organizing, we need to take that information.
You're breaking up real bad, Brother Ray. I can hardly hear you.
Okay, we need to take that information and disseminate it among the people who want to hear it. Because of the sickness that our people are in, the diabetes, the high blood pressure, the cancer, the AIDS, this whole game they're running on us right now, we need to learn to detox our body. Okay, and that's one of the ways to do it. And that's like you said, that's an original way to do it. But we need to teach it, and it needs to be organized to do so. So that's my point. And I look forward to getting that information and getting learning how to do it or teach or going somewhere to get one. I know there got to be people here in Miami, Florida, somewhere who do that. I've been in one. I've lost track on who they are. But we need to do that because it's very important to our health condition, and that's my point.
Okay, and that's why I've been doing it for all this long, is why I made the commitment in helping my people. I did 4 years sacrifice doing Sundance where I hung on a tree with pegs, had to be pulled out of my chest from hanging on a tree and pulled them because I made a commitment of sacrificing my flesh to do for my people. This is what I've been doing, Brother Ray.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, believe me, and I'll honor you for that. What I'm saying is that we need to spread it out so that others can do it and learn and teach, because we're in such a bad condition health-wise in this country at the hands of the system that we're under, that we need to change it, and that's one of the ways we can change it. Dr. Savy was the other way, and he was a friend. He was a friend, and we could have used his system. Dr. Alvina Fulton, we could have used her system. These are systems that exist today, and we need to get them to the people so that they can know we do not have to depend on these pharmaceutical murderers and the hospitals and these doctors who are not treating us and not healing us. But these are methods that will heal our bodies.
And this is part of the culture of indigenous and our ancestral ways, because the Inipe ceremony is done in the continent. It's done around indigenous culture have been using these ways of nature, using the four elements for the medicine, which you're talking about, what we're needing, because the forest is our first community. Everything that grows in the forest is the farm we see, not the pharmacy called Walgreens and CVS. The farm we see is in nature. That's
now,
how we get our medicines.
Absolutely. Now, my children's parents, grandparents were Native American. They didn't know that. I didn't know that until I got into this. I didn't know that their grandmother was a bona fide American Indian from Tennessee. I didn't know that. I didn't know their grandfather. I didn't know that my grandmother was Indian from Virginia. I didn't know all these things. They didn't teach
us. Right.
Now we got the opportunity to teach. And that's what I'm suggesting.
We need
to teach those things.
Right. And that's why I say we create the oasis, which is our ancestors are in nature. They're not in that concrete urban jungle.
I agree.
The part that we have to understand is our ancestor spirit is in nature. And when we come back to the Mother Earth, this is the mother of all that we live on and live with. The soil is a living being. There's a wood wide web, which is greater than any internet that they can build, that has been creating and exchanging information throughout this planet before humans were walking it. We've got to reconnect back to our mother. That's my part in what I do in being able to share that type of information and doing that. And this is what I committed to.
People who are listening are going to pick up on it, and they're going to start doing the same thing. They're going to need instructions. They're going to start doing it. They're going to need instruction. I know my son is going to do this. I know that. Because, you know, he doesn't know he can go out and sit in his backyard and put his feet down in that soil and in that grass and heal himself.
Mama AZ had one of the biggest pits I ever seen when I went to Camp Arizona and went back there where she had whatever that sister named teepee. She had her teepee up there that had the turtle and had all the animals drawn on it. She had a nipe back there. She had the whole, had changed the whole landscape around there. And she had an oasis in the back of the community of an apartment building that she was living in. She had an oasis back there. Was a healing center.
Yeah, we can do that. Everybody can do that in their own backyard if they learn the process, if they know about it. But we don't know.
Yeah, we did
so
that.
We're
in,
learning.
We did, right. We did that in Maryland. We bought a 22-pole teepee, had a nipe back there on 5 acres, and we had it fenced in, and that's where we did ceremony.
Well, we're going to – I, for one, am going to make a move on putting and getting that together. I do have some Native American friends here in South Florida that I can now talk to them about this because I didn't know how to talk to them, and now I can because of what – we learned tonight. And that's what this is all about, passing that information to the next person so that we will know that. You know, you don't have to go get no operation and cut this out and cut that out. No. You can heal your body, clean your body. And, you know, we got to go back to the original. And that's what this is all about, organizing, coming together, and teaching one another. Each one teach one. Pass it down the line. Okay?
Our ancestors knew that when you heat, to make stones turn back red, you have to heat them up over 150 degrees. When you bring them in there and you create those 28 stones in total, but each time you're adding more stones, this creates more heat, there's no bacteria or virus can live in that heat. That's what kills and purifies you.
But be ready,
it's
y'all.
It's using the elements.
Let me tell you this. Let me share this with you because I've done it, and not knowing what you're teaching us tonight, I've done that. I had to crawl out of that tent, and I thought I was going to die, but I did feel a lot better once I came around. But I thought sure I was going to die that night. And my friend Dr. Inhotep, he's going to come on one of our shows one night. He's going to teach what he knows. And these are things that we need to do. We need to set up these classes, like Brother Ed is doing. Teach what we know, I don't know these things, so I can't teach it, but I know people who can. I know Kwame, and I'll call him to Kwame to teach this, and I'll call Dr. Imhotep, will you teach that? That's how we get the information out to the people. None of us are all right, and none of us are all wrong. We must come together. Yeah, that's the only way to get through this thing. So I appreciate everything tonight that has transpired, and I'm sure that those of us who are on here who want to do some of these things. I know my son is on. Gerald, did you have something that you wanted to question, you wanted to ask or say? Are you still there? Okay, I guess not. But
are you talking to me?
I was thought my son was on. I thought he was going to chime in. He's probably at work, so that's probably why he's not chiming in.
But, yeah, this is excellent. These are the kind of things that we need to be doing. You know, the same thing with Brother Tariq. You know, he's got so much information. You know, we need to share that information so that others can learn from it. You know, and we can't. You know, and we don't expect everybody to know what we know. Everybody's not where we are, but we need to pull people up and share what we do and who we are. You know, I'm grateful. Thank you, Antoinette, for doing this. I appreciate this more than anything. And again, you know, it's a learning process. We're on a learning process. We're in a situation now where we have to come together to survive what's happening to us. And don't think that it's just happening to them. No, it's happening to all of us. So I thank you for this show.
Yes, and I thank everyone for being with us. And with that, we will continue this. Brother Ray, you have to tell us when the next one will be. And we'll be on it.
Okay. Just remember the power is in us. We got the power. Let's use it.
Yes. All right. And so with that, I'd like to thank everyone for being with us. And we'll say good night.
Thank you
all right,
so much.
Thank us, Brother Ray, and thanks, Sister Antoinette, and thanks, Brother Eddie and Mama AZ, and my sister that was came in, and I thank her for her, you know, instructions and how that we need to keep doing and being guided in the right way.
That's right. Amen. Yes,
that was Sister Ottawa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Okay, well, thank y'all. Until the next time. Oh, don't forget Dry Bones on Monday for the Helios Filios. Brother Eddie and I next week, Brother Eddie?
I'll let you know by Sunday.
Okay. All right, y'all. So, to be continued.
And
Sunday, thank you all for
Sunday at 3 o'clock. Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say that. Lord, thank you, Brother Kwame. Don't forget, Brother Ray, it's Sunday at 3 o'clock for the drumming that is done all around the world. So don't forget that. And with that, you know, we want to share our love with our elders and with the children and with each other. You know, we really want to keep each other encouraged. So thank you all for being with us. Pardon me?
I say lift every voice and sing. Every voice.
Yes, lift every voice.
They're doing it in their languages in other countries as well. They're lifting every voice. They're learning that song. Lift every voice and sing. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have those brothers in Cote d'Ivoire to sing it next time we come on. I'm going to have them come on and sing it.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be great.
And thanks, Ms. Kim. God be the glory.
Yeah. Amen.
God be your good.
I love you, darling.
Okay, y'all.
Hi.
Nothing stays the same. Everyone will change. No one stays the same. The young become the that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. returns to spring. A wounded heart will heal. But never much too soon. Yes, everything must change. The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold. 'Cause that's the way of time.